Yaganam Nasakaya Chakshuni Mitam Ninatas Maishi Giravin Maha Hukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Nangayati Girin Yat Kripa Tamahamande Shigurun Nibutaranam Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Putale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Nitinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sanyavari Pastichadi Sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm very happy to be here one more time to give this opportunity to be with all of you. I thank you all for kindly coming and participating in our Gaura Katha. I was requested tonight to speak a little bit about Lord Chaitanya and also the relevance of hearing about Lord Chaitanya. Whether we're hearing about Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna, the effect on the heart is the same. Even if we are hearing about their associates and their devotees, still it has the same effect on the heart. Hearing is one of the most fundamental principles for advancement in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the Nectar of Devotion that if someone is in a dangerous position, in a dangerous situation, and they're sound asleep, their sense of hearing can save them. If something is about to happen and somebody puts up a sign while you're sleeping, wake up, somebody's about to kill you, it will have no effect. But if someone screams out, wake up, quickly, jump, someone's about to kill you, that's different. That's a more effective. It is much more effective. So similarly, he gives that example to help us to understand the importance of hearing for advancement in spiritual life. And the very first stage of approaching spiritual life begins with the stage called Shraddha, or hearing with faith. There must be some faith if we want to make progress. But it's not that we accept blindly. Certainly we have to hear with caution and hear attentively and ask questions. But Shraddha is actually the most important ingredient for advancing in spiritual life. Or Shraddha, or faith, is the most important ingredient in advancing in spiritual life. So, naturally, if we're going to be discussing the pastimes of the Lord, we have to discuss a little bit about faith, because some of the things the Lord does are inconceivable. Because he is not bound to the laws of material nature. And if we try to approach that which is inconceivable with mundane logic, it would be very difficult. Of course, sometimes it's called the leap of faith. Sometimes it is called a leap of faith. We have to jump to some platform which goes beyond our rationality.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, Srila Prabhupada explained that we should not accept these things on blind faith. First, there must be logical arguments that can satisfy our inquisitive nature and satisfy our mind. Of course, there are some living entities who can develop their faith very quickly. It's described that there are two types of faith. One which is a result of coming in contact with spiritual life in a previous life, and therefore one develops it very quickly in this life. And the other type of faith is that which is developed by the forceful preaching of someone that we make contact in this life. But forceful preaching does not mean that one takes you by the arm and puts it behind your back and says, listen, you have to accept what I'm saying. Or neither does it mean that we have to preach, you know, this fire and brimstone. If you don't follow this, you'll go to hell. This is also not the type of preaching that Srila Prabhupada speaks about or spoken about in the scriptures about forceful preaching. Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes explain that purity is the force. And when the absolute truth is presented in a pure way, for the benefit of the audience, and it is not interpreted in any way, and is presented in a transparent way, then it's very compelling because it's the truth. There are not many absolute truths. The absolute truth is one, although he may appear in different features. But still, if we're going to speak about absolute truth, then we have to understand that absolute means complete, total. And many places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains himself when he speaks about himself as he says, there's no truth superior to Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti tananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me just like pearls are resting on a thread. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything material, the material worlds and the spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. So there are many absolute statements made by Krishna, but Krishna can make such statements. Because we accept Krishna as an absolute authority based upon faith. Srila Prabhupada, I think we explained last time also, Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that one has to accept that the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is God. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, the word spoken by the Supreme Lord. It is not something that was manufactured in somebody's fertile brain. It was something that was spoken by the Supreme Lord, and it was handed down through spiritual master disciple in a chain of disciplic succession. Right in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, he said, everything that I'm telling to you now, I've spoken many millions of years ago to the sun god Vivaswan. He spoke to Ikshvaku, Ikshvaku spoke to Manu, and he's come down to a chain of saintly kings. But in the course of time, the science as it is appears to be lost, and I have come again to reestablish the principles of religion. Therefore, he says, Paratranayu sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangstapranartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Whenever there is predominant, in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants and to re-establish religious principles, I advent myself millennium after millennium. So Krishna, he appears in this world and he says, Ajopisana vayatma bhutanam isharopisana, although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, still I appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So we accept these statements with some faith. Because we accept that, of course, we can accept different theories about creation. There are many different theories about how everything came into existence. Of course, there's the Big Bang theory, and you know, there's the theory that, you know, everything developed from, it's just an explosion, and then Prabhupada would oftentimes say that, but that's not logical. When have we ever seen that order comes from chaos? Usually explosions create chaos, not order. But we see that in the universal affairs there is definitely is an orderly system. Although these days sometimes it looks a little chaotic. But still there is an order to the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the change of the seasons. The planets staying in places, not going out of orbit. There is the sun is nourishing and sustaining life by its rays. The rain is coming and nourishing the crops. There is some universal order, and wherever we see order, we see intelligence. Intelligence means person. So it's also logical to accept that there is a person behind creation. It's not such a great leap of faith. It's logical to accept that there is a supreme being. And although we cannot see him with these eyes, if we hear properly through transcendental sound vibration, our transmission of transcendental knowledge, then that innate knowledge of the Supreme Lord that is there within the heart of the living being can become awakened. As it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. When the living entity hears about Krishna from the right source, then that natural innate love that is there for the Lord is awakened. So therefore, faith is awakened by associating with those who have more faith. And that faith is, and that knowledge of the Supreme Lord is gradually realized through the process of hearing. Even the word educate means, in English, it means bring out that which is there. The knowledge is already there within the heart because we have an innate capacity to tudatban.
A tudás már benne rejlik a szívben, mert bennük rejlik az a kapacitás, hogy szeressük Istent.
We have an innate capacity to love someone.
Bennük rejlik az a kapacitás, hogy szeressünk valakit.
We have an innate capacity to depend upon someone.
Bennük rejlik az a kapacitás, hogy függjünk valakit.
We have an innate capacity to remember somebody.
Bennük rejlik az a kapacitás, hogy emlékezzünk valakit.
To talk about someone.
Hogy beszéljünk valakiről.
That's innate within every living being.
Ez minden élőlény benne rejlik természetesen.
Everybody is busy talking about others. It's in it that we have that innate capacity to speak about someone. Unfortunately, many people are more interested in talking about politicians and temporary affairs in this world. But that innate capacity to hear and to speak about others comes from is natural because we have the innate capacity to hear and to speak about Krishna. Therefore we say in the beginning there must be some faith to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada tells a story about the cobbler and the Brahmin. And the great sage Narada Muni, who travels throughout the entire universe and even to the spiritual world. Narada Muni one time was on his way to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, to see the Supreme Lord Narayan. And he came upon a Brahmin, and the Brahmin asked Narada where he was going. And he said, "Oh, I'm going to see Lord Narayan." And the Brahmin was thinking, "You're going to see Narayan. Could you please ask him when I will get my salvation?" So Narada Muni agreed. I said, "Yes, I will ask." And then as he continued his journey, he came upon a cobbler who was busy fixing some shoes. And the cobbler asked Narada Muni, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to see Lord Narayan." And the cobbler said, "Oh, you're going to see Lord Narayan. Would you ask him when I will get my salvation?" Agreed. And then he took his usual journey wandering around the universe with his transcendental veena, strumming the veena with the transcendental sound vibration of Radhika Ramana, Radhika Ramana. Because wherever he goes, he is always spreading the glories of the Supreme Lord. And he entered into the region of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Vai means without, and Kunta means anxiety. And Prabhupada says, there is material world is called Kunta, a place of anxiety. He said there will always be anxiety in the material world. He said, but there are two types of anxiety, material anxiety and spiritual anxiety. Material anxiety means we're always anxious about how will I make perfect arrangements for my own happiness. And therefore we're always anxious, well, what should I, and making difficult decisions, will I be happy by that? Why is this happening this way? I want to avoid this result. So this material anxiety. And he said, but because the material world is called Kunta, there always has to be anxiety, but there's also spiritual anxiety. And spiritual anxiety means, what can I do to please Krishna? Maybe I can do this and work very hard and Krishna would be pleased by this. Oh, I should protect Krishna's property and not let anybody steal it and take it away. Everything I have belongs to Krishna. How can I use everything for in the ultimate way to satisfy the Supreme Lord? So this is spiritual anxiety. And material anxiety is the cause of bondage, and spiritual anxiety is the cause of liberation. The result of spiritual anxiety is that one can attain Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is that world where there's no anxiety. Except Narada Muni, he can traverse to that place very easily because he's already on the transcendental platform. So he went to Vaikuntha because he's free to go wherever he pleases. And he approached Lord Narayan and he said, "Can you please tell me what's the destination of the cobbler and the Brahmin?" He said, "Oh, the cobbler, he will come to me after this lifetime. But the Brahmin, he will have to wait many lifetimes." And Narada Muni asked, "Why is it? What's the problem? Why does the Brahmin have to wait such a long time before he'll see you?" And Lord Narayan said to Narada, he said, "You just tell them when they ask you what I was doing here." You tell them that I was threading an elephant through an eye of a needle. Then you will understand why. So Narada Muni returned. First he came upon the Brahmin. And the Brahmin said, "Oh, you're coming back from Vaikuntha. You must have seen Lord Narayan." And Narada Muni said, "Yes, I've just come from seeing him. He said, when will I get my salvation? When will I get all salvation? My salvation? What was the Lord doing anyways?" And Narada Muni said, "Oh, I'm glad you asked. The Lord was threading an elephant through an eye of a needle." "What? That's preposterous. How can you say, make such a statement, expect me to believe it?" And immediately Narada Muni could understand why the Brahmin would have to wait so many lives before going back to Krishna. He told the Brahmin, he said, "You'll have to wait many lives." And then he went to the cobbler. And the cobbler said, "So you're coming from seeing Lord Narayan?" And Narada Muni said, "Yes." And he said, "What was he doing?" "He was threading an elephant through an eye of a needle." And the cobbler said, "Oh, wonderful, my Lord is. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him." Immediately Narada Muni could understand that the cobbler had faith. And he asked the cobbler, "How is it that you can accept that Lord Narayan was threading an elephant through an eye of a needle?" And the cobbler, he was always sitting doing his work under a banyan tree. And he picked up one banyan seed. He said, "You see this seed? In this seed, the Lord has put in a huge tree. Why is it so difficult to accept that he can put an elephant to an eye of a needle?" So he convinced Narada Muni that he had faith. It wasn't completely blind faith. It was based upon some logic. He had practical experience in a tiny seed that comes a great big banyan tree. So in the same way, the Lord can thread an elephant to an eye of a needle. It wasn't difficult for him to accept. So this type of faith is required when we hear the pastimes of the Lord. There must be some faith or a desire to want to know who is the Supreme Lord and what does he do. He must be doing something. What does he engage all of his time doing? Throwing lightning bolts? Punishing people for their misdeeds? Some people think that God sits on a big throne and passes judgment. Keeps records. The bookkeeper. And he keeps records on everybody just to see who's good and who is bad. But Krishna, he has unlimited potencies and energies that can do all of these things for him. Natasya kayam karanam savijate, natachabhikas prajishate, parasya shaktiya vividhaya shivyate, svabhavaki gyanamala kriyacha. For Krishna, there is no one who can be found who is equal to him, and no one to be found that is greater than him. And for him, there is nothing for him to do. Because everything is done very systematically by his multifarious energies. Parasya Shakti, these Shaktis, these potencies, these energies of the Lord, they act according to the will of the Lord. And therefore the Lord does not have to do anything. As we explained, I think, last time, if we have nothing that we have to do, then what would we do? Obviously, we would do that what we want to do. So there's nothing that Krishna has to do. Krishna doesn't have to create. He doesn't have to maintain. He doesn't have to destroy. He doesn't have to punish. He doesn't have to keep records. And when he wants to create, he doesn't have to go to the lumber yard and purchase lumber and in concrete and in ingredients to create. He is omnipotent and self-sufficient. That means everything exists within him. And therefore his energies, they are spread throughout the entire creation. But he can remain aloof from them. He doesn't have to be directly involved. His energies all do it perfectly for him. As Krishna says, by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is created. So he describes how this entire cosmic manifestation is pervaded by simply by his energies that act perfectly according to his will. So when it comes time for creation, it's not that he has to get involved with creation. His energies do it for him. They act very perfectly according to his will. Unlike sometimes what we experience when we try to get somebody to do something for us. We have to pressure, we have to cajole them. We have to praise them, we have to... They're trying to do so many different things to get person to do, you know, just what we want them to do. And still, sometimes we see they don't do it the way we want them to do it. Oh, I'll just do it myself. Can't get anybody to do anything around here. See how powerless we are to get things done the way we want them to get done. It's a good reason for that. We're not the supreme controllers. It's a very simple explanation. If we were supreme controllers, then everything would happen according to our will. So Krishna has arranged this material world in a very perfect way to try to help us understand that we're not supreme controllers. But Krishna is the supreme controller. Therefore his energies act very perfectly. Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He says, Maya works under my direction. The material energy is working under my direction and is producing both moving and non-moving beings. So Krishna doesn't have to do it. His material nature is already acting very perfectly according to his direction. His internal potencies act according to his direction. So there's nothing he has to do. So if there's nothing he has to do, then what does he do? He does what he wants to do. He enjoys with his eternal associates. And the spiritual world, that is what the Lord is doing. But the Lord is so merciful and kind that sometimes he comes once in a day of Brahma, and he comes and shows everybody here what he does in the spiritual world. And he visits every universe, just like from 1 minute to the next, the hands of a clock, the hand is moving from 1 minute to the next, to the next. The Lord is going from one universe to the next, bringing his associates. And just as Krishna comes once in every millennium in his original transcendental form, similarly Lord Chaitanya also comes. Lord Chaitanya's purpose for his descent is to bestow upon the living entities who are forgetful of their eternal relationship with Krishna the means by which they can attain their relationship with Krishna. So before we can talk about Gaura Lila, we have to understand a little bit about these principles of the descent of the Lord. That if he chooses to descend, he can descend. Because he's independent. And he's not under the laws of material nature. He is not forced to take his birth. He appears by his own choice to enjoy. But he doesn't come alone. He brings his associates. So before Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world, he sent many of his eternal associates to take birth in the material world. His associates took their birth. It appeared like an ordinary material birth, but actually they were actually just descending and appearing in this world to assist the Lord in his pastimes. Just as the Lord himself, he also takes birth. That's one of his pastimes. One of his pastimes is taking birth and accepting a mother and father. But how can God have a mother and father? That doesn't make sense either. But he accepts a mother and father by his own choice.
someone who wants to have a relationship with the Lord as a parent. So he accepts Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra as his mother and his father. Because they were also Vasudev Devaki, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. Whenever the Lord appears, his mother and his father appear also before him. So they can actually enjoy the experience of praising the Lord as a young baby and a young child. And the Lord behaves as a young baby to give them pleasure. Because they wanted to have the Lord as their child. The Lord reciprocates according to one's desire. If one wants to have a maternal or paternal relationship with the Lord, the Lord will become one son. Just like when in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, when Lord Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and all the calves. He stole them just for a moment in the calculation of the time of the demigods. But actually, according to earthly time, it was one full year. And during that year, Krishna had to become all the cowherd boys and calves that Lord Brahma had stolen. So Krishna became—he expanded himself into each and every cowherd boy, and had the same characteristics, the same bodily features, the same clothing, the same everything was the same. And they would go home in the evening after grazing the cows in the pastures, and their mothers and fathers would have great affection for their children. And they couldn't figure out why their affection was even greater than it was before. And the cows' affection for their calves was so much greater than what they previously had for their calves. But one day the cowherd boys and the calves were grazing in the pasture. And the cowherd men were up on the hill and they saw their sons and the cows saw their calves grazing in the pasture. And the cowherd men immediately came down running to the pasture, took their sons in their arms, began embracing them and rubbing their head and smelling their head. And the cows with their milk bags flowing as they were running down the hill, pouring milk all over the ground, they were running to their calves. And Lord Balaram was standing there watching all this. He was thinking, something's going on here. Because even Lord Krishna had Lord Balaram fooled for some time. But then Balaram began to realize that there's something about these cowherd boys and calves that is very mystical. But Krishna satisfied all the cowherd men and all the cowherd women became their son. They all had the opportunity to serve Krishna as their son. And there were a lot of cowherd men and cowherd women. Because there were a lot of cowherd boys who were stolen by Lord Brahma. But they all had the enjoyment of having Krishna as their son. And offering their breast milk to their children. taking care of them, reprimanding, bathing them, clothing them. So in this way, Krishna was fulfilling their desires for parental affection. So therefore, the Supreme Lord, by His own choice, could become somebody's son. The Supreme Lord has friends and the Supreme Lord has lovers. When He comes as Lord Krishna, His pastimes, they're known as madhurya, or very sweet. But when He comes as Lord Chaitanya, His pastimes are known as audaya, or very magnanimous. Lord Chaitanya appeared to deliver the fallen conditioned souls by giving them the highest realization of pure love of God. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, as Rupa Goswami describes, offers a basis to Lord Chaitanya, who's the most merciful incarnation of the Lord. Because He's come to freely distribute what no other incarnation has ever come to distribute before. The ecstasies of pure love of Godhead. And He's come to freely distribute it, only for one price. The price of one's faith. It's as long as one is willing to take that which He has come to give. So the Lord descended for that purpose. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there's external reasons and internal reasons for the descent of Lord Chaitanya. The external reason was to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And to answer the call of Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya, he appeared before Lord Chaitanya. And he was a very great Vaishnava. But he saw that the world was becoming very degraded. He saw that people, they were becoming very materialistic. People were speaking from scriptures, but would never, the word bhakti or devotion would never come from their mouths. They would speak about Bhagavad Gita, but they never spoke about devotion. And he saw that the tendency of the world at that time was that people were devoid of devotion to God. He was thinking only if the Lord Himself comes Himself can these living beings possibly give the love of God. So he prayed for the Lord to appear. And upon the call of Advaita Acharya, who is an associate of the Lord, there's a very technical terminology about the Lord's associates. Especially the Pancha Tattva. Pancha Tattva Eka Vastu Nahi Kichu Veda Rasa Asvadita Tabo Vivida Vibheda. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord appears in five Pancha Tattva, five truths. Pancha Tattvakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Akyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. There are five forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Three of them are Vishnu Tattva. There is Lord Chaitanya, there is Lord Nityananda, who was his first expansion. And there was Advaita Acharya, who was Mahavishnu. And in this verse that we just quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained. They said that actually all these five tattvas, they are all these five truths, spiritually, these five truths are all absolute. Because on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet because there are varieties in the spiritual world, in order to taste these different varieties, one has to distinguish between these different truths. So on the spiritual platform, ultimately, everything is in quality one with the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya came to preach the philosophy of called Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, which is the simultaneous oneness and difference from the Lord. So the Panchatattva, they were simultaneously one with the Lord, but different from the Lord. And sometimes people try to promote that everything is one with God. And they simply emphasize the oneness, that I am, everything is God. If God is everywhere, that means I am God too. We already explained last time what Prabhupada said about them. And he said that if you are God, that means you came to enjoy for pastimes. So please enjoy my boot in your face. People who claim to be God, but yet God never becomes God. Sometimes people think they perform some mystic yoga process and then they become God. Actually, we're all God. We just have to become God again. So they emphasize the oneness, but they don't see the difference. But Lord Chaitanya came to propagate this simultaneous oneness and difference. Achintya, inconceivable also. Example is just like when the sunshine enters the room. The sun is the energy, it's one with the sun. The energy has the same influence as the energetic source. So when the sunshine enters in the room, it is heating. But there's also a difference. When the sunshine enters the room and when the sun enters the room, there's two different experiences. So although there's oneness, there's also difference. So in the same way, the living entities, they are one with the Supreme Lord. One who sees all his living entities as spiritual sparks in quality, one with the Lord, he is a true knower of all things, as explained in the Isha-Upanishad. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So the living entities have the same qualities of the Lord, but they have different quantities. The qualities are the same. They're eternal. They're meant to experience pleasure. Just as Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the living entities are also meant for enjoyment as well. But they can never be one with God. Being the same as God. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Bhitya, as explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna is the one and only supreme eternal beings, and all other beings are subordinate to him. Or as it also says, Mayadish Mayavash Ishvare Jivit Vede. Lord Krishna, he is Mayadish. He is the controller of Maya. And the living entities, they are Mayavash. That means they come under the control of Maya. So the difference is that Krishna never comes under the control of the material energy. He's not overpowered by illusion to forget that he's God. Of course, there is an aspect, but we won't get into that. How sometimes he actually forgets that he's God. But that's a whole different subject matter about the spiritual world. We can get to that maybe at some time. But the point is that he's all-knowing. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything in the past, I know all that is going on in the present, I know all things that are yet to come, but me nobody knows. He said, I am situated within everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So Krishna also has his all-knowing aspect. He knows what's going on everywhere because he's spread everywhere throughout the entire creation. So suddenly there's some echo. I don't know what did it start changing. We were explaining how the Lord appears in Panchatattva, five truths. There is Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita Acharya. And then there is Gadadhar and Shivas. They are all five tattvas, truths. These four tattvas, they appear with Lord Chaitanya to propagate his mission of the Sankirtan movement. They come to assist the Lord and come as servants of the Lord. Although they are very powerful themselves, as Lord Nityananda is none other than Lord Balaram. But they think of themselves as servants of the Supreme Lord. And they enjoy between themselves this great feelings of pleasure, of brotherly affection. There is great pleasure in variety. There is no pleasure in oneness. And that's why Prabhupada always emphasizes that the spiritual world is filled with unlimited variety. He used to quote the phrase, "The variety is the spice of life." And the more variety is, the more different types of enjoyment there are. So the Lord in his pastimes experiences unlimited variety of relationships with his potencies. And these varieties of relationships increase his pleasure and their pleasure more and more and more. And every living entity is meant to be part of that pastime. Every living entity is actually constitutionally, by nature, an eternal associate of the Lord. And is meant to experience that unique relationship with Krishna. Everyone has a unique relationship with the Lord. Just as we explained, the Lord expanded into unlimited cowherd boys and calves. The Lord expands as the super soul in the heart of every living being. He's in everyone's heart. Not just the heart of the human beings, in the heart of the animals, in the heart of the plants. Wherever there is the soul, there is also the super soul in this material creation. So he has a relationship with every living being. And he's waiting for that living being to turn to him and to direct him back to his eternal relationship in the spiritual world. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya comes for that purpose. He comes to reestablish that eternal connection that every living being has with the Supreme Lord.
And he's
very merciful. He's very kind.
He's
especially very devoted to his devotees. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we exceed this quality, this characteristic. That the Lord actually becomes the servant of his devotees. He just simply wants to please his devotees. That gives him the greatest pleasure. Imagine the Supreme Lord. What is it that gives him pleasure? Giving pleasure to his parts and parcels. Although he's supreme, he likes to become subordinate to the desires of his devotees. This is his greatest quality. Not that he's the supreme controller. Not that he's the supreme proprietor. That makes him great. But just imagine how much more greater he becomes. That although he is the supreme controller, although he is the supreme proprietor, although he is the supreme enjoyer, although he is the original being, and everything and everyone is ultimately coming from him, although all these things are his constitutional nature, his greatest pleasure is coming subordinate to the desire of his devotee. Therefore his devotee controls the Lord by their desire to please him. The Lord becomes purchased by their love. Just like there's that story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a story about Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was a very great devotee of the Lord. And Durvasa Muni offended him. It's a long story, we won't tell the whole story. But it's sufficient to know that Durvasa Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish. And because of his offense to Maharaj Ambarish, Lord Vishnu called upon his Sudarshan Chakra to destroy Durvasa Muni. Sudarshan Chakra is one of his weapons that he uses to punish the evil. So he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra and threw it at Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a very powerful sage. He was able to run very quickly. And he was trying to avoid that Sudarshan Chakra. He started running over the valleys, the mountains. Then he ran to other planetary systems. And the chakra was right behind him. He went to Lord Brahma, he fell at his feet, "Please protect me." Lord Brahma said, "No, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." And then he went to Lord Shiva, asked for his protection. Lord Shiva said, "I didn't invoke the chakra, what can I possibly do to help you?" Then he went to Lord Vishnu himself, the one who invoked the Sudarshan Chakra. He fell at his feet and begged him, "Please protect me." And the Lord said to him, "There's nothing I can do." "What do you mean there's nothing you can do? You invoked the Sudarshan Chakra. You're God, you're independent. Certainly you can call it back." And And the Lord said to Dharasa Muni, he says, I'm completely under the control of my devotee. I'm not independent. Because I always sit within the core of their hearts. Their hearts are completely freed from any material desire. What to speak of my devotees, even those who are devotees of my devotees are very different. So Dharasa Muni said to the, he said, what do you mean? You're God. You're independent. Certainly, if you see a person suffering, you can do something to prevent his suffering. And the Lord said to Dharasa, he said, no, it's my svabhava, it's my nature to be dependent upon my devotees. Well, he said, well, certainly, if you see a person suffering, you'll do something to protect them, wouldn't you? You must have a heart, don't you? And the Lord said, no, actually, I don't. He said, I don't belong to myself. My heart and my mind are with my devotee. Because my devotees, they're very dear to me. My devotees, they always serve me very faithfully. And they always take me within the core of their hearts. And they're always trying to please me. And I go to my devotee and I say, please, let me do something for you. Let me give you something. But my devotee always says, no, I don't. And I beg my devotee, please let me give you some benediction, something, let me offer you something. And my devotee says, no, I just want to serve you, just let me serve you, that's all I want. So the Lord tells Dharasa, he says, well, therefore, even though my devotee doesn't ask for something, I still want to give him the most valuable thing I have in my possession. He doesn't ask for it, but I give him anyway. What is the most valuable thing I have in my possession? I give him my heart. I don't have a heart to think about your suffering. Maharaj Ambarish has it. If you want to be, you want the Sudarshan Chakra to be taken away, you have to go to him. I have no power to call it back myself. And the Lord shows that that's how much he comes under the control of his devotees. That is the nature of the Lord. He gives the devotee his heart. And the devotee, he is so fully satisfied because the Lord is in his heart. Not just as in his heart as the super soul. But the Lord is experiencing the pastimes of the Lord manifesting in his heart. The devotee is directly witnessing the spiritual world and the eternal associates of the Lord all manifesting just like television in his heart. Even when Krishna leaves and the devotee is feeling separation, the devotee is still, although he's feeling separation, the Lord still is there with the devotee constantly. He never leaves his devotee. Devotee sees Krishna leaving, he thinks, oh, Krishna's going, the devotee's feeling separation. But then the devotee experiences Krishna and he's thinking, what is this? Am I dreaming? Krishna is there embracing him, satisfying all his desires. Krishna is playing with him. But I just saw Krishna leave. Is this all a dream? But Krishna satisfies each and every one of his devotees. The devotee, although he feels separation, he also feels that he's together with the Lord by separation. In this way, the devotee has a competitive relationship with the Lord. The devotee is trying to please the Lord. And the Lord is trying to please his devotee. The devotee does something to please the Lord, and the Lord does something to please his devotee. And this type of transcendental competition goes on. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, whenever there's competition between the Lord and the devotee, the devotee always wins. The devotee's will always prevails. That's how powerful a devotee is. A devotee can defeat the Lord. But how does he defeat? Not by weapons. Not by strength. And that's not how he defeats the Lord. He defeats the Lord by his love. And therefore the Lord becomes a plaything in the hands of his devotee. There's one very nice pastime I wanted to read a little bit and speak about. It's a very nice description of... We spoke a little bit about it this morning in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's a very nice description about the Lord, how the Lord deals with his devotee. And this is about the devotee, his name is Kolavecha Shidha. Kolavecha Shidha was a banana leaf merchant. He used to make banana leaf cups and plates, and he used to sell them at a very reasonable price. It wasn't a very lucrative business. You can imagine banana leaves in Bengal. There are banana trees everywhere. So it wasn't a very lucrative business, and he wasn't very wealthy. But still, he would always give 50% of his earnings to the worship of the goddess Ganga. And he lived very, very satisfied in his livelihood. He would not endeavor for more than was required simply to maintain body and soul. And also he was always very much absorbed in chanting the names of Krishna. Sometimes he would stay up all night long just crying out Krishna's names and chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And tears would come to his eyes. And he would feel such great love for the Lord. But he had some simple means of livelihood, and during the day he would sell these banana leaf cups and plates. And this Pandit Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, before he spread the Sankirtan movement, in his earlier youth, he was known as Nimai Pandit. He was a very learned scholar. He was very expert in Nyaya and logic and Vyakarana. And he knew all the scriptures. And he was expert at debating. Nobody could defeat him. Sometimes he would get in debates with other people, and he would defeat their arguments with his own arguments. And then after he defeated them and got them to accept his conclusion, Then he would take his own conclusion and he used the defeat of him, then defeat that. And then he would establish another conclusion. How did he do that? He already gave me the conclusion. He established another conclusion. And then after he convinced the opponent of that conclusion. So now you've accepted that conclusion? I'm completely defeated. I must accept. He says, okay, now I'll defeat that conclusion. I'll show you there's another conclusion. So in this way, he was always very much absorbed in argument and debate. And there was a reason for that. Because in Navadvip during that time, it was a center of learning. If anyone wanted to go and become an erudite scholar, they would go to Navadvip and study under the different Bhattacharyas and pundits there. And everybody studied the scripture because they wanted to simply get into debates. As we said, they wouldn't study the scripture for the purpose of devotion. They would just want to get into debates with others and try to prove that they knew more than the other person. And everyone was just totally absorbed in scripture for that purpose. The more scripture they knew, the more powerful they became in the ability to defeat others. Sometimes the students, they would go and say, my teacher is better than your teacher. I'll prove to you how my teacher knows more than your teacher. And they'll get into an argument. So because everybody was so absorbed in scripture, for the purpose of argument, the Lord appeared as a great pundit. He became the greatest logician. Because he wanted to first attract them all by becoming their teacher. So that's what he did in his youth. He became a very powerful teacher. He would gather many thousands of students and he would teach them about logic and grammar and argument and debate. But later something happened. But right at this particular point, he was still Nimai Pandit that we're talking about in this pastime. He's still Nimai Pandit. And as Nimai Pandit, he used to go to Kolavecha Sridhar every day. And he used to provoke him. He used to say, look at these leaves. They're not really of good quality. You should give them to me for half price. And of course, Kolavecha Sridhar did not recognize Nimai Pandit as his worshipful Lord. The Lord's energy of Yoga Maya covers the devotee so that the devotee couldn't realize or recognize that this was the Supreme Personality of God. But Kolavecha Sridhar somehow very much liked being provoked by this young pandit. Sometimes the pandit would say, you should just give this to me for free. And Kolavecha Sridhar would say, no, actually, my prices are very reasonable. Just go any other supplier, you'll see that my prices are very reasonable. You should at least pay a reasonable price. If you're not satisfied by my prices, there are many other suppliers. You can go there. Why do you... Why do you always come to me and provoke me? But Nimai would do this because he was actually reciprocating with his devotee. And sometimes Shiva, I mean, Shiva, he would say, okay, and he would just let him take. This Brahmin Pandit, he's very unpredictable. One of these days I think he's going to punch me in the nose. But still I will give him whatever he asks for. But it was simply the Lord actually just reciprocating with his devotee. So this is how he oftentimes would behave with Kolavecha Shuddha. And even one time he said to Kolavecha, he said, look at you, why are you living the way that you're living? He said, you have torn cloth, your dhoti is tied in 10 places. You're living in a one-room hut and there's holes in the roof, the rain is coming in. Why don't you do more to live comfortably? Can't you see everyone around you? They're worshipping the goddess Durga and they're living in great wealth and affluence. Kolavecha Shuddha would say, no, actually everyone is living according to the destination of their past activities. The bird is eating, living in the tree, and he is eating whatever it is necessary to eating all of his necessities is being provided by the will of the Lord. Why should I endeavor for more? I have whatever I need, and I'm fully satisfied. Of course, Kolavecha Shuddha was fully satisfied because he was always chanting the names of the Lord. That is one of the symptoms of someone who is always chanting the names of the Lord, is that they experience a higher satisfaction and they need less externally to satisfy themselves. So although the Lord was provoking him, why don't you do more to make more money? Would defeat him and explain to him, no, actually, it is not necessary for such over endeavor. So, one time Lord Chaitanya, he manifests what is called the Shata Prahariya Bala. What time does this end? 8 o'clock? Or quarter 8? Huh? In about 10 more minutes. Okay. It's called the Shata Prahariya Bhava. It was the ecstasy of 21 hours. Lord Chaitanya, although he always displayed himself as a devotee of the Lord, during this particular pastime, he displayed himself as the Supreme Lord. And in the middle of kirtan, he went and he stood on the altar. He took all the shalagam shilas, he placed them on his lap. And for 21 continuous hours, he began bestowing benedictions upon all of his devotees. And accepting the offerings of his devotees. Sometimes he would do this momentarily, for a little time he may display. But actually during this time, for 21 continuous hours, he displayed his features as the Supreme Lord. And he manifested so many different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead before his devotees. One by one he was calling his devotees to come to him. So he would give them, fulfill their benedictions, and he would tell them who they were in a previous life. He told Gangadas, he said, Gangadas, do you remember when your village was being attacked? Do you remember that you took your wife and your family and you went to the river? And there was no way you could cross the river.
And
your wife was about to be attacked by the Muslims. And you were crying out, please, someone come, please help us. Do you remember that the boatman came and took you across the river? Do you know who that boatman was? I was that boatman. I took you to the other side of the river. And Ganga Das fell down in ecstasy. And he asked Ganga Das, please ask me a benediction. One by one he would call his devotees and he would tell them about their previous lives and ask them to please, let me give you some benediction. So then Lord Chaitanya, he said, bring Sridhar here. And he said, who is Sridhar? He said, you simply go out towards the outskirts of the cities and you simply listen. And when you hear somebody crying out my name very loudly, you follow that sound, you'll find Sridhar. So following the Lord's command, the devotees hurried to Sridhar's home. And then here it describes a little bit about the things I've already described about how the Lord used to provoke Sridhar. And the Lord also used to say to Sridhar, he said, Sridhar, why not you should give all these things to me. Don't you know that you're worshipping the Ganga, but the Ganga is emanating from me? Sridhar would cover his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, aren't you afraid of offending the goddess Ganga? How can you say such things, you rambunctious pundit? So placing his hands over his ears, he would say, Vishnu, Vishnu. And every day they quarrel. So this description is here. And then the devotees, they went out and they found Sridhar. He was chanting Krishna's name and they called Sridhar. And it said, the Lord Chaitanya is calling you. The Lord said to Sridhar, Sridhar, look at my form. Today I give you the 8 mystic perfections. Raising his head, Sridhar looked at the Supreme Lord. And he saw that Lord Chaitanya was now dark like a small tree. He assumed a very beautiful form. In his hand, the Lord held a flute. On the Lord's right was Lord Balaram. Sridhar saw everything was effulgent. Lakshmi was offering the Lord betel nuts she held in her hands. Brahma was offering prayers before the Lord. Anantashesh raised his hood like a parasol over the Lord's head. All the great sages were offering prayers before the Lord. And from all 4 directions, beautiful goddesses were offering prayers with folded hands. Of course, this was Nibai, the same young boy that used to come and provoke him all the time. And now he saw this most wondrous form. And seeing all this, Sridhar became filled with wonder. In this way, he fainted and fell to the ground. Then he told Sridhar, rise, get up. Lord Chaitanya commanded him to get up. Sridhar regained consciousness. And then Lord Chaitanya said, Sridhar, offer prayers to me. Sridhar said, I'm a fool, how can I say anything? Then the goddess Saraswati entered Shridhara's tongue, and Shridhara spoke very beautiful prayers. We won't repeat all those prayers, but they're very beautiful. Then Lord Chaitanya said, Shridhara, ask for a boon. Today I give you the 8 mystic powers. Now they are in your grip. Shridhara said, Lord, what will I buy from you? Please be peaceful at heart. I do not want anything. Then the Lord said, look, I am not unhappy. I must give you a boon, whatever is in your heart. Ask. Again and again, Lord Chaitanya demanded. Shridhara said, Lord, give me this boon. May the Brahman who gave coins for my banana leaves be my master birth after birth. May the Brahman who quarreled with me be my master. May he give me his lotus feet. Again and again speaking these words, Shridhara was overcome with love. Raising his arms, he loudly wept. Seeing Shridhara's great devotion, the Vaishnavas were overcome. They also wept. Smiling, Lord Chaitanya said, I will give you a great kingdom. I will make you a king. Don't forget, Shridhara was living in poverty. In fact, there's one other thing I meant to mention about Shridhara's poverty. Shridhara was living in poverty, but Lord Chaitanya, he one time told him, he said, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to expose you. Externally, you present yourself as if you're living in poverty, but I know you have great wealth. And one day I'm going to come back and expose you to everyone how you are living in great wealth. And this poverty of yours is just a front. Lord Chaitanya did this by coming to the house of Golavecha Shridhara. And he was surrounded by thousands and thousands of devotees in kirtan. Now, he stopped in front of Golavecha's house. And in front of Golavecha's house, he used to keep this iron pot. It was an old, broken pot. And it was holding water that Golavecha used to use to wash his feet. And Lord Chaitanya said, Golavecha, do you remember I said I was going to expose you? Now I have come to expose you in front of everyone. I'm going to show that how you have the greatest wealth. Lord Chaitanya grabbed that pot. And Shridhara cried out, no, no, I will die, I will die, what are you doing? And Lord Chaitanya took that iron pot and drank all the water. He said, now I have exposed you. Now I have shown everyone the wealth that my devotee possesses. The wealth and the dust of the lotus feet of my devotee. You have the greatest wealth because you have unalloyed love. So here the Lord is saying to Golavecha, I can make you a king and I can give you the whole kingdom. So
was I? Should I have said, I don't want that. You please become my master and I will sing your name. Then Lord Chaitanya said, Sridhar, I am your servant. Look at how I appear before you. In other words, Sridhar is saying, please become my master. Lord Chaitanya is saying, look at me, I'm your servant. Because I'm your servant, I'll become your master. Birth after birth after birth. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, look at me, I'm your servant. Still I won't argue with you. Now I give you pure devotional service, which is hidden even from the beginning. And all the devotees chanted Jai, Jai. Everyone heard how Sridhar received the boon that he wished. How does one recognize a true servant of Lord Chaitanya? Not by his possessing wealth, not by many followers, not by material education. What is the value of material education, wealth, beauty, fame, and noble family? They only increase false pride without limit. Sridhar, who sold bananas and banana roots, was able to see the Supreme Lord. Whom even millions of kings cannot see after millions of kalpas. False pride and aversion to devotional service lead one to a life of hedonism. Hedonism makes one fall down. Then one's future becomes unknown. A proud person who mocks the devotees, thinking them fools or people suffering in poverty. A proud person who mocks the devotees, thinking them fools or people suffering in poverty. They go to hell called Kumbhipaka. That is the punishment for his misdeed. Who has the power to understand Vaishnavas? The Vaishnavas possess all mystic perfection. The banana leaf seller Sridhar bears witness to this truth. Simply by engaging in devotional service, he attained all eight mystic perfections. So here was an example that we were giving of how Lord Chaitanya bestowed benedictions upon his devotees. The devotee gives pure devotional service. The Lord gives pure devotional service to his devotee and gives him that service eternally in the spiritual position. Lord Chaitanya came to give that gift of unalloyed devotional service. And this is only one of numerous pastimes which are described in the scriptures about the Lord's activities in this world. And as we said in the beginning, that anyone who hears these pastimes with faith, they can also be given the gift of pure love of Godhead. All it requires is to hear these descriptions, these narrations with faith. The more one's faith increases, the more one's attraction to the Lord increases. And faith comes by hearing in the association of devotees these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. So I've spoken long enough. I thank you all for your kind attention.
There are so many more things we could say about Lord Chaitanya, about his appearance and his pastimes, but they're unlimited. And it is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Ananta Shesha, with his thousands of hoods and thousands of mouths, is describing the pastimes of the Lord eternally and never repeating them. What can I possibly do in an hour and a half? We cannot even, it's like standing at a whole ocean and thinking, how can we empty the ocean? It's a very deep ocean of the Lord's pastimes. But if we awaken some attraction to hearing, that is the whole foundation of advancing in devotional service. The more we hear, the more our heart becomes cleansed. As we said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Sudha Chete Kore Udoi. The pure love for Krishna is situated within the heart of every living being. The more one hears, the more that natural love that is there within the heart comes out of the heart. Prabhupada gives the example, just like fire is in wood. But in order to bring it out, there has to be a catalyst to draw it out of the wood. When you put fire in the wood, then the fire comes out of the wood. The same way love is within our hearts. If we simply lend our ears and our hearts to hearing these transcendental descriptions, the heart will become clean and our eternal identity as a servant of the Lord will become revealed. This is the perfection of human life. And this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give in our Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone has the opportunity to perfect their lives, to go back to Godhead. All that is required is that one simply gives his ears and faithfully hears and chants the glories of the Lord. Thank you very much. I guess it's...